You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's me, Jeff Rauschenkill. You're listening to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm joined today by the number one good and golden boy. I'm talking, of course, about the 365 days of horror, as we like to call him, Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I am good, mostly because I am not being sued by the Attorney General from the District of Columbia like one John Schaefer.
So, do you have an update on this story? I know that we've really milked this cow dry throughout the year because it's been, you know, the most enduring lol cow that we've had. What's the latest? What's the happenstance on this?
According to the PRP, Iced Earth's John Schaefer is among the 31 individuals named in a newly filed lawsuit from the District of Columbia Attorney General Carl Racine. The letter filed suit today, December 14th, in Washington, D.C., accusing the individuals targeted in the lawsuit of, quote, conspiring to terrorize, end quote, the district in relation to their involvement at the Capitol building riots that took place on January 6th, 2021. And he's being sued alongside his far-right militia buddies, the Oath Keepers. It's pretty great.
Wait, is this story, is this lawsuit also targeting the Proud Boys?
I believe, yes, it is.
That's interesting that there's an attorney general like trying to go after the guys whose, you know, entire groups are pretty upfront with, hey, we're, you know, we have membership rules, we have dues, and we're going to overthrow the government.
Well, there's a first time for everything.
Yeah.
And I like that Schaefer just dropped dimes on everyone, and he's still being included in this.
Yeah, I was going to say, you signed your life over to do the dirty work for whatever alphabet agency, you know, commands it, and they're still suing you. When, what's a guy got to do to get a break around here, right?
Well, I think it's probably one of those things of like, yeah, you worked with the federal government, but the local government still wants their piece, and, you know, you haven't been talking to any one of us, so your name's on the list too.
Maybe he's right. Maybe taxation is theft if there's all of these branches of government coming after him.
I'm okay with it.
No, I think it's very funny. There are people who will probably say that there is, an overreach of the government or something, a slippery slope argument to be made. But as long as this is targeting John Schaefer and vis-a-vis the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, I'd say it's very funny, and I don't want to think about it any further than there.
I mean, it's okay if it's a slippery slope because his crumpled body will be at the bottom of the slope to break your fall.
There you go. Folks, it's that easy. It's, you know, learn to laugh. Have a good time. You know, this is a very special episode, Jordan. People love this one. It's where we listen to all of the most popular heavy metal songs of the year, stuff that you and I would never touch with a 10-foot pole. And we're going to get into it in a minute because these episodes are a lot of work for me to edit. So in the interim, is there any other news that you would like to discuss?
Speaking of law enforcement issues.
Law enforcement issues is always a great way to start this.
I mean, that's all we really have, right? It's just law enforcement issues and being canceled and, you know, just saying terrible things. But yeah, Tool drummer Danny Carey was arrested at the airport in Kansas City after getting into a fight with, I believe, a security guard.
I saw this morning. There's multiple details of this story that are very, very funny. I think perhaps the funniest is him wearing a Chiefs jersey when this happened.
He must have went to the game and was going home and had a few too many oat sodas and malted barley beverages and, you know, got into it with someone.
Yeah, I also saw that he called one of the airline employees a boop.
A word that we cannot repeat and will not repeat on this show. The other surprising thing about this news story that, I mean, maybe other people knew about this, I didn't know, he's 60 years old.
Okay, thank you. That's the other thing I wanted to bring up. This is
I had no idea. I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like, it doesn't make sense until you say it, and then you go, huh, I guess so.
I guess all of these guys that, you know, were probably in their 30s when I was, you know, getting into music, yeah, they age just as I do. Our bones are brittle as hell.
Jeez, Maynard is 57 years old.
And he's still acting like he's fucking 12. That's incredible.
Fame and money allows you to do that. And, you know, sometimes it bites back and you get arrested and you're on TMZ just getting your face slammed into a wall.
So I think it is kind of nice, though, that we, as Gen X turns to, you know, to late middle age, early elderly years, that they become just as shitty as the boomers before them.
I guess that's behold the ravages of age. That's what we're going to be in, I don't know, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, 15 to 20 years, I'm going to be blackout drunk wearing a Cowboys jersey getting arrested at the airport.
Getting arrested fighting some little kid at the Dance Dance Revolution arcade game.
That sounds, yeah, it's like you got a crystal ball. You can see directly ahead of my future.
You fucking pussies, you don't remember 9/11.
Yeah, that's, I forget, you know, not everybody has the same meeting experience as us. There are young people now. It's fucked up.
Yeah, and they occasionally say things like, Titanic was real? That really happened? It wasn't a movie?
Yeah, I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio, he was there, bro. If you can't understand timelines, you might as well have fun with it. What do you make of the master esotericist drummer getting arrested for being a drunken fool at the airport?
I think his chakras weren't aligned. I think his third eye was just bloodshot, possibly crusted over a little bit from being awake too long.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, went on a really bad chocolate chip trip.
Yeah, that third eye was seeing sextuple. yeah, I can't wait to hear more about this. I hope that the details are forthcoming, and I hope that he makes it an even bigger incident than it needs to be.
It's about freedom. It's about liberty. He's going to take this all the way to the Supreme Court.
I can't wait for it. Is it okay with you if we dive into the meat of this episode, or do you want to talk about, you know, your personal life or your dreams, your hopes for the future?
Well, you and I both moved out of houses within the past couple of weeks, so I think we're just really tired and are happy to sit down and just talk about nothing for an hour.
Yeah, man. I don't want to bore anybody with the details, but shit got real fucked up, and it took a lot of work to unfuck it, and now I'm in Dallas, thank God. I'm never going back to Austin.
You're in a town where people love you and appreciate you.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, so what we're doing here, YouTube, and I'm pretty sure Shane Mathis works on this, I'll ask him later if I remember, puts out a playlist of the top hard rock and heavy metal songs of the year. And when, you know, with a title like that, I generally assume that it's going to be the top, as in most popular, hard rock and metal songs of the year. This time they really threw me for a loop in a couple of strange ways. What did you notice about this?
Every year when we do this, we tend to see the same bands over and over again. There's a few that are just every year there's at least one song. And at least with this list, there was one band in particular that had like four songs that had like millions of views, and it was surprising, saddening, maddening, a whole bunch of feelings.
Let's talk about that in a moment, because we will be talking about it quite a bit, unfortunately. I'd say that the thing that surprised me most on this list was that there were a number of tracks on here that had something like 6,000 views, which I would say does not qualify it for the most popular hard rock and metal songs of the year.
Yeah, when we were preparing for this episode, like, and going through some of these, I thought the list was wrong. I thought this was just something that a random person curated, and it's just like, these are the 50 songs I like.
Yeah.
And it's not. Like, there are a couple of bands that I've never heard of, which, you know, yeah, it can happen, but it seems odd for a list with millions and millions of views on it to have stuff that you just do not know, even by name. But, yeah, they just have couple of thousand views, so I don't know what the deal is with that.
I don't know. Maybe We Fly the Kite paid for inclusion on this list or something.
And there's one or two songs on here that are old songs, like System of a Down is on this list for Soldier Side, which came out in 2005. I was a sophomore in college. But for whatever reason, the song was uploaded this year, like by the band or by the band's YouTube, rather. I don't think Serge Tankian is just sitting on his laptop doing this, but maybe he is. And yeah, for whatever reason, that has a couple million views and is on the top rock and metal songs of 2021.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that. There's a few that were released last year as well that we definitely covered last year. For example, We Got the Moves by... I wish I could do a boop on both of these words. Eskimo Callboy. What if we named our band an Indigenous Prostitute?
That won't upset anyone.
Yeah. Awful song, awful cloying video, completely awful. And again, I have to see it again this year, but we won't talk about that because, you know, that was a last year thing.
I have a physical detrimental reaction to that band. The name, the music, just the video, just everything about them, it just assaults the senses in the worst way possible.
It's bad. So what I did with this list is I removed a few things, things like covers that I did not understand, as well as a Papa Roach remix featuring a new rapper with Kobe Dick, some guy named Jairus Johnson, who sounds like a third string wide receiver for the Cowboys circa 1994.
I think we might have talked about this a while back. I think he's like a TikTok star or something like that.
Jairus Johnson. I don't know.
Just ugh.
Ask your kids about it. I don't know.
You know, credit to Papa Roach. Despite everything working against them, they still manage to be popular or at least relevant in some sort of circles where they're on these lists every year.
Yeah, Kobe is on like five of these tracks on this list. I don't think we're gonna talk about anyone. I hope not, but he's all over the fucking place. For some reason, the guy from Papa Roach is a hot commodity.
Maybe these younger bands are just so influenced by Last Resort that they just got to get him on.
And it's worth noting that he has been milking that one particular song for most of my life now.
If anything, he should be milking the song where in the video he was spitting roaches when he yelled. God.
I set an arbitrary rule for myself because this is already a ton of work to do, and that I put the cutoff for views in somewhere in the 2 millions. I hope folks won't mind if I talk about anything that you know is less popular than that. If you'd like to hear that, you can listen to literally any of our other shows. Can we begin here? How does that sound?
Let's do it.
All right, coming in at the bottom of our list with 2,358,000 views, we have Trivium with The Phalanx. Within the veil of Mr. Gale, one against all, soon blood will spill. We cannot wait to make your pain. We are the burn inside your brain. Are you familiar with this song at all?
Other than listening to this song for this show, not really. I think, and I've talked about this before, I like Trivium's first major album because it was a mixture of the metalcore, the clean, catchy vocals, that sort of stuff, and then everything after. I mean, I have no problem with them, and they seem to be okay guys. It's just they went through their Metallica phase, and I wanted no part of that, and they've kind of just been doing their own thing since then. They're palatable, heavy metal. Radio-friendly heavy metal, I should say, and that's cool. That's fine. The song is fine. Yeah. Compared to everything else on here, just about this is two thumbs up.
I unfortunately agree with that. I will say that the riff that carries the song definitely seems like a leftover from Load, like that's or maybe like even the Mission Impossible soundtrack era.
Yeah, they do kind of still maintain some of that just hard rocking riffage, but they have enough talent where they can kind of carry it through solos and more of the metal things that we like.
Yeah, so it's fine. It's, you know, some leftover Metallica riffs and, you know, somewhat palatable metalcore if that's your thing. I got no real beef with this. The thing that I found interesting about this, because what I did for each of these is I went through and gave myself minor brain damage by reading all of the YouTube comments. So this quote here from commenter Ruskin, he says, "Oh my God, as both a massive Trivium and Elder Scrolls fan, this song and video combination is quite possibly the best thing ever created. I'm like overwhelmed with how incredible this experience was. I'm going to proceed to repeat this video for the rest of my life. Thank you, Trivium." Which is how I learned that this song, The Phalanx, was created as some kind of promotional partnership with the Elder Scrolls Online video game.
Ah, maybe that's how it got so many views.
I know that Trivium is a very popular band, at least in terms of, you know, that particular era or whatever, but I also know that the fellow what from that band makes most of his money from dicking around on Twitch, so you got to take it where you can get it, I suppose.
Yeah, Matt Heafy, that's like, that's his job, and Trivium is like the thing he does for fun.
Yeah, so if you can get some extra dollars partnering with a large video game franchise and making a bunch of Reddit nerds just blow a wad in their shorts, I guess that's ideal, right?
They're diversifying their portfolio.
That's essential, especially when you're up in years like these fellas. Got to start thinking about retirement. All right, I think we can move on to the next one. Otherwise, we'll be here all day, right?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so coming in next, 2,389,000 views, just barely beating out Trivium. We have Korn with Start the Healing.
This is a weird Korn song in that it doesn't sound like Korn.
See, I'd say that it doesn't sound like Korn at the start, but it does eventually work its way back in the chorus to kind of an Issues type of melody.
I think it's one of those things where you hear Jonathan Davis's voice and he has his style, so you know it's going to sound like Korn, it's going to sound like them, but this is one of those songs where it's almost like Rihanna with Umbrella. That song was originally for like Mary J. Blige or someone else. It was for another person. They didn't want it. The song was given to Rihanna and then she became a big star. This feels like it was someone else's song that the label just said, here, this is your song now, you do it.
Man, Mary J. Blige fucked up. She should have done that song.
Yeah, that's what happens. And, you know, but then again, at the same time, it might not have been as big as a hit because she is already an established star.
That's true.
This is like, who's this new person? Oh, we're going to check it out. We're playing the hot new thing. But yeah, it didn't really sound like Korn to me. It could have been like anyone with Jonathan Davis doing vocals.
Well, I want you guys to mark this, you know, bookmark this spot because we're looking at number 17 on our list. And it's Korn there at number 17. You're not going to see him again, but we will revisit this. I did get a couple of comments here from the YouTube comment section. Again, I like giving myself brain damage. This one I just wrote down because it was very funny to me. Shara Michael says, "Been enjoying this band and a few others the past several years. Rock speaks to me better than any other genre." Which is something that a non-playable character in an RPG would just speak to you at the record store or something.
That's something you would tweet out and then say, retweet if you agree, and it gets like 1.2 thousand likes. And it's just like, what?
I do this all the time, but certain phrases stick in my head, and been enjoying this band and a few others the past several years. That's going to stick in my head.
I like stuff and things.
Yes. One other comment here that I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention to the crowd. This is Adrian Iwanowski. He says, "This band evolved so much and survived so many transformations that I am actually in awe of it all. This has to be the strongest, most original, and life-changing music band this world has witnessed. Your impact on music already echoes in eternity." And I would just like to note for everyone that this is a man with a swastika for a profile picture.
Well, maybe he's never heard Ball Tongue yet.
Hey, you know, maybe not. It's go back and check out the archives. You might get into it. Is there anything else we should mention about this song?
I just think it's interesting. The first two bands we've covered are just well-established bands that have been around for... I mean, Korn's been around for, what, over 30 years? And yep. Trivium's been around for about 20.
Yep. Well, let's hit up another band that's been around a while, just with a different cast and crew from time to time. Coming up on number 16 is Arch Enemy with Deceiver, Deceiver. Open my eyes, you've been in disguise. The door is closing, you're on the outside now. It's curtain call. This has 2,553,000 views. Did you get a chance to listen to this one?
I listened to it. I think I much prefer Angela Gasso era Arch Enemy and Amit Brothers, however you want to pronounce it. Their version of Arch Enemy compared to now, the song is like fine.
It's so generic, dude.
It's the definition of fine.
Yeah.
For a band that like really had, especially in their earlier days, some catchy melodic death metal and stuff you could really sink your teeth into, whether it was like Ravenous or Nemesis, things like that. Something that stuck out, a melody, a catchy solo, a chorus, something. And this is plain mashed potatoes.
The Mendoza line of metal.
Not good, not great, just there. And so, I think they've just been kind of doing that for a while now. And I hate to say it's since the vocalist changed to Alyssa White Gluz. And it's not her fault.
No.
If you were going to replace anyone with someone who sounds almost just like your previous vocalist, they did it perfectly. This is who you want. And it's just, she's doing her thing and it's good. And just everything else is like, eh?
Yeah, no, I don't blame her. I do blame Doyle von Frankenstein, though.
They like their being in shape and being vegan and really being into what's his name, Richard Dawson.
Are they into the like the philosopher guy?
She is.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm sure Doyle doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, no, he's from fucking Lodi, Jersey. He doesn't give a shit about anything. All right, let's move on. This is dull.
No comments for that one.
For Arch Enemy,
it was just plain comments as well.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, that's the thing. I like this band. This band is good. I like this song. Like, this song is so fucking generic, I couldn't even find an insane YouTube comment.
Slash M other slash.
Let's move on here. 15, number 15 with Slipknot with the Chapel Town Rag, 2,670,000 views. Boy, is this a Slipknot song.
Like Arch Enemy was plain mashed potatoes, this was like bland Brussels sprouts with nothing on them.
At least I would say that in Slipknot's defense, they have a defined sound. Mm-hmm. Whereas with that last Arch Enemy track, that is whatever. It could be literally any band on earth, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
So the Slipknot song, it's fine. If you want to, you know, kind of repeat what they were doing 15 years or so ago, listen to the Chapel Town Rag.
It's an unremarkable Slipknot song. And do we know what the Chapel Town Rag is?
Oh, my God. I am so glad you asked, dude, because I wasn't sure, but I looked at the YouTube comments and I have an answer for you. To those wondering what this song is about, it's about how mass media, news, and social distorts the truth so much because it refuses to admit that they're wrong. The example this song uses is how the media treated the Chapel Town serial killings by the Yorkshire Ripper, Peter Sutcliffe. The news media at the time reported that Sutcliffe was targeting prostitutes, and because of that, the case was steered in the wrong direction, as Sutcliffe targeted all women, not just prostitutes. The police actually interviewed him multiple times, but didn't secure a warrant because they were so dead set on their profile of a prostitute killer, which Sutcliffe didn't match. So the case got horrifically bungled, and 10 women died because everyone believed the media. This comment by a user, "The FBI is gay." So there you go. You learn something every day, right?
Well, I learned a lot about the shithouse rag.
Let's move on here. Let's see. 1876. Number 14. Here's a band that you and I probably have strong opinions about. Here is Ice Nine Kills with Hip to Be Scared, with 2,743,000 views.
Their early work was a little bit too seen for me, but when the silver screen came out, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically. The whole album has a refined melodic sensibility that really makes it a cut above the rest. Hey, Paul!
What do you think about Hip to Be Scared?
It's just so, like, crystal clear and pristine, and I've been wondering about this recently, how kind of nu metal was the go-to for, like, local bands in the early 2000s, late 90s. It was just, you know, everyone was kind of doing this thing. And then metalcore came along in the, like, early to mid-2000s, and then all the local bands and the smaller bands became metalcore bands. And that hasn't changed. Still to this day, your average local metal show will have metalcore bands on it in 2021, soon to be 2022.
Well, that's not fair. They might be on a bill with a deathcore band and a djent band, two other genres that are, you know, have been totally eclipsed in time.
And it's just kind of, this is like the epitome of that. It hasn't ever changed. It's your good cop, your bad cop. It's your harsh vocals here and your clean vocals here, clean processed studio magic vocals. And I think the only thing that really sets Ice Nine Kills apart from a bunch of those other bands is their gimmick is they like horror movies and they like references and they make quirky little videos referencing movies, and people can go, I know that. I've seen that movie. And I've heard that line before.
This entire song is a big reference to American Psycho, and I know that people out there are listening and thinking, well, my shitty high school metalcore band had a song about American Psycho in 2007. And my answer is yes. You didn't have the money or success that this band has for some reason, though.
People love this band.
I find it truly baffling that this is doing so oddly well. The entire video seemed like an excuse for their, you know, above average handsome vocalist to dress up like Patrick Bateman over and over again. Which, you know, if you want to play Kendall, that's fine. I didn't find it stimulating.
I mean, at this point, just do your own solo stuff, and you could do that and make all the money.
You ought to consider that. That's probably food for thought, Ice Nine Kills guy.
Bob Nine Kills.
Is there anything that you would like to expound upon with Hip to Be Scared?
Unnecessary.
Agreed.
For a movie that's, what, 15 years old? And for a song that's...
We're 20 years old on that one now.
20 years old and a song that's, what, pushing 40?
Yeah. I mean, there is that little Huey Lewis in the News melody in the middle there.
I get it that everything old is new again, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Are young people clamoring for American Psycho? Is it some sort of meme that we don't know about?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the Patrick Bateman, you know, pointing to his stereo has been a meme for years now.
Sure. Like, I know Weird Al has done a parody of it.
Oh, yeah, that was actually a pretty good one, too.
Because Weird Al is perfect.
Yeah, and I don't want to be, like, a revisionist or nothing. I like the movie American Psycho. I think that's a good movie. It's just odd that we are still doing this when there are so many movies that have not been completely obsessively covered.
And this is not necessarily doing American Psycho stuff, but their shtick is... We like horror movies. They've been putting out a bunch of songs in October where they dress up and, like, here's our Freddy Krueger song and things like that. So they do have that crossover appeal of, I like generic metalcore to drive around in my Saab. And then you have the people like, I like horror movies. And I mean, there's plenty of people who are just happy hearing about Jason and Freddy and Chucky. And they're not like, talking to you about Salo. So I guess it's just that sweet spot of not necessarily a fastball down the middle, but definitely a pitch you could hit, a slider perhaps.
Yeah.
Something you've seen before, you know, it has broader appeal than, you know, you might expect.
Well, like it, like you were saying, if you were to go sallow or sailor or whatever, you're imperial triumphant and nobody wants that.
Yeah, you just have to be a rich kid from New York.
Exactly, you fucking piece of shit. Let's move on. We're going to break out of the 2 millions with this one, if that's okay.
Sure.
Number 13 with 3,221,000 views so far. A band I was not familiar with. This is The Beast in Black with Midnight Rendezvous. I wrote notes to myself. I write notes to myself all the time. But the first note that I wrote to myself during the first 10 seconds of the song was, holy shit, this sucks. And I later revised that. I don't think this song sucks ass, but the intro definitely does. Because it's a woman who's doing like a We Live in a Society kind of monologue. And that is, it kills me.
It's pretty bad. So years ago, I think I did a video breakdown for Beast in Black. They're European power metal band.
This is a total synthwave thing, you know, which has been going on for 10 years.
Yeah. So they are a power metal band that have like slowly shifted into more of doing this. And I think a lot of particularly the female fronted power metal bands, at least the more popular ones, have done this shift a little bit to just being less power metal-y, less symphonic, and just doing this.
I find that more palatable, to be honest with you. And I would like to, because I read the comments on this one, point out that this is actually not a female led band. This is a male countertenor, so he's just got a super super high voice on this.
Are we sure?
Yes, I am sure. I researched it.
I could have sworn they had a lady singer.
Maybe they did in the past, unless YouTube is lying to me. I don't think somebody would go into YouTube and just lie, would they?
I might be thinking of another band, actually.
Regardless, if you like Blade Runner and you have not had your fill of bands that are, you know, going to that well, you might like this band.
Well, no, I got to research this now. This is upsetting me.
Right, we're taking a quick pause to do the thing we should have done before we started.
No, recording. I mean, I believe you. I'm looking it up, and that's what it looks like. But I'm just now confused as to what band I was thinking of.
It could have been a lineup change, you know?
Maybe.
We'll see.
It's not important. Sorry. It's just...
So, there you go. That's the first of our dalliances with power metal, but I assure you it will not be the last. No?
Yay.
Because coming up on number 12 here with 3,305,000 views, we got a little band called Power Wolf with Dancing with the Dead.
Long ago in a time of twilight, seven sins, seven hearts on strife, lost away in a storm of rivals, stay safe at night.
Did you listen to this one?
I don't like Powerwolf. I know they like sprung up a few years ago and were headlining major festivals. And I still to this day don't really get it. I think maybe it's just a European thing where they're more happier with the broader metal strokes and middle-aged men painting their faces but not being black metal.
Love me power metal, simple as... No, I didn't write the comment down, but I did read a guy that wrote paragraphs in all sincerity asking Power Wolf to represent Germany in Eurovision.
Might as well.
I mean, I don't know how fucking Euro shit works, so I couldn't tell you, but as far as I can tell, this guy's nominating them for the Euro version of American Idol, I guess.
If Lordy can be on it, Power Wolf can be on it.
I guess so. This is... Again, if you're a certain kind of dude, if your yearly calendar social event schedule revolves around the Ren Faire, this might be for you. Mine doesn't do anything for me. I'm going to mix it up on you, if that's okay.
Sure.
Going up on number 11 here, this has 4,094,000 views. This is Architects with Dead Butterflies. And do you know what is so shocking about this song to me?
There were no dead butterflies in the actual song.
There were not. But the other surprising thing about this was that I liked it. I liked this song. I can scarcely believe the words coming out of my mouth. I felt like it had some Catatonia vibes to it.
I don't really like this style that has kind of been, not pervasive, but it's been around a while. This sort of genty, heavy parts and then like the super clean melodic by itself vocals, at least for the whatever 40 seconds I listened to it. And it's just I've had enough of that.
Well, maybe it just put me in a mood because I listened to 3 hours of trash, but I'm gonna give this one a pass. This one gets a pass.
I'd rather listen to actual Catatonia.
I would too, but
and I did my research. I was confused with what Beast in Black. I was thinking of the band Battle Beast, so my apologies.
Okay.
Which is a Finnish power metal band led by a lady.
You guys got to get more creative with your naming conventions.
Too many beasts in metal.
Agreed. Let's see, where are we here? Because we done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's going to put us at number 9 here. 4,284,000 views, Spirit Box, Circle With Me. What say you? What say you, Jordan?
This is one of those bands that there's been a lot of hype over for the past year. They were the opening band for like Limp Bizkit before that whole tour fell apart with like mystery illnesses that were never addressed again. Remember that?
Maybe something's going around. I haven't really checked.
And like I don't know if that was a little bit of studio pushing this band or some other forces. People seem to really like the album. I thought the song was okay. The thing is with this, though, there's another band. I believe they're a British band called As Everything Unfolds that does what they do, what Spirit Box does, but much better. It is like if Paramore and Walls of Jericho became one band. So you have your like really
thing everybody's clamoring for.
It doesn't make sense until you listen to it because it has like your super catchy choruses that you know everyone can bounce around to and sing along to, and then it has like your harsh verses so you can get your bro moshing. So it's just kind of one of those things where you don't think it works, but it does. And I think they do that better than Spirit Box does.
Well, my official notes on this track are, and I will quote here, it's fine.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. I'm not offended by it. I don't quite get the hype on it, but then again, we're in our 30s.
Yeah, and I've got much more offensive shit coming up for you. Here we go. This one offends me to my very core. This is our first appearance by somebody we're going to, unfortunately, talk about a bit. With 4,418,000 views, we have Christmas Truce by Sabaton.
Silence! Oh, I remember the silence on a cold winter day. After many months on the battlefield, and we were used to the violence.
Sabaton, Jordan. It's Sabaton.
It's Sabaton, but like offensively Sabaton.
All Sabaton is offensively Sabaton to me, but yes, they are really pouring it on too hard with this. Notes from the video, they spent a lot of money on this, but they can't afford to get Joaquin his some hair plugs for his, you know, short buzz mohawk. It is barely holding on, folks.
I just, you write a song about how the two sides of war are making kissy faces because it's snowing outside and it's Christmas. Like, I know it was a sort of real thing that happened. It, you know, it has been conflated and, you know, changed up a little bit with retellings, but like, yes, some soldiers played soccer together on different sides, but this is just snow's falling. He's playing a piano in the trenches. All these tired, dirty soldiers are looking up, feeling the spirit of Christmas. Fuck you.
It's oppressively awful to me, man. I can barely stomach this band on a normal day, but this one, just this schmaltzy fucking Christmas song about how we can all learn to be friends even in the middle of war, but war is awesome, so don't get me wrong about that. It sucks. It sucks so much, man.
The only thing that would have made this good if, like, in the last 30 seconds, mustard gas just started falling on everyone.
Yeah, we're all taking a break from killing each other because our royalty decided that somebody fucked the wrong cousin or whatever the hell the cause of World War I was. Who cares? It's awful. It's truly, truly awful. And I don't want to dwell on it because we have more Sabaton coming up, unfortunately.
This was just the Sabaton appetizer.
Yep. Moving up, we're breaking into the fives now. 5,195,000 views. We have Die For You. That's one word with a number four and the letter U by Bring Me the Horizon. Here's a band that's on the list every single year, and I still don't get it. I don't get it at all.
This was brutal.
Did you make it all the way through the song?
No, absolutely not.
I made it about 1 minute on this one, and I was like, all right, I think I got it now.
Just, oof. And it's one thing to be like, it's a pop song, I don't care for it. This was not good.
I think I was just too old to ever get into this band back in their days when they were playing, you know, metalcore or whatever. It's just, I'm never going to get into it now. I'm out of that target demographic. And now that the target demographic is like having kids, I'm feeling even older.
Just people with neck tattoos, having kids, throat tattoos, gauged ears down to their knuckles.
And they all believe, you know, Ollie Sykes is, you know, essentially some songwriter on par with John Lennon of their generation, which, you know, he probably also beats women. I'm going to cut that part out. I don't know.
We're just going to see a generation of kids named Ollie and Sykes and Jaden and Hayden and Braden and little Ice Nine Kills Smith.
Yeah, it's so alienating to me. Like, I don't even know what to say about it other than, like, this is, you know, this is for somebody of an entirely different, like, planet.
It is interesting seeing the bands that went from deathcore, metalcore, to just making pop music or generic dad rock, like Bring Me the Horizon or Parkway Drive. Just, how does that happen, I guess?
I don't know. I guess you've figured out that you've played the one riff enough, and you have to try to find a new riff to play. That's my
guess. It works for some of them, so there is something to it. It's just, when do you make that decision, and how do you make sure it succeeds?
I don't know. I mean, there's no denying that this band is incredibly successful, probably more so now than ever before, by doing, I don't know, whatever kind of club banger pop shit this is. I would rather listen to like a normal pop song than this, though. don't try to make it something that is not. Don't try to fancy it up. Let's move on to one that I found incredible. Absolutely incredible. 5,488,000 views. The song is called Smile Again, and it's by a band called Chaosium. Please tell me you listen to this one.
So I knew about this song months ago in, you know, my video breakdown searching and just generally finding the worst things so I can send it to you guys so we can have a laugh. And yeah, no, I've seen this one before. This is 1998, and just distilled into bad haircuts and Joker makeup and guys wearing straight jackets talking about how they're so angry they're about to explode.
Yeah, man. And when we talk about, like, the new metal revival, like we have been for forever now, like, what we've really been missing is guys, you know, painting their faces like Mudvayne and doing the whole watch out, bro, because I'm fucking insane. I'm mentally imbalanced. I'm in an insane asylum. Like, that really hasn't been replicated, I think, since maybe 1999. So these guys are going for it. And I got to say, you can't argue with 5,488,000 views unless that's somehow like a, you know, a label purchase.
I think it's one of those algorithm things, to be honest, where a band you've never heard of just keeps popping up in your recommendations. I'm blanking on the band's name. It was like Somnolent or something like that, where the little picture advertising the video, like up next and all that, was a pretty lady with blue hair. And that got 10 million views because it kept showing up and people went, ooh, who's this pretty lady? And I think that might be the case for this too, because like the little picture is this crazy looking Joker guy with dreadlocks looking like he's about to go insane. So I that would be my assumption.
I guess that's a fair assessment of what's happening here. The music on this is just a straight follow the leader era corn rip. Like that's what the music is here.
Yes.
And in doing that, in just making a straight rip and then wearing, you know, the crazy guy clothes from back in the day, they doubled what Korn got with their actual song.
Everything old is new.
Everything old is new, and apparently more poppin' than the old.
They are more Korn than Korn is now.
More Korn than Korn, man.
Yeah.
So that's fun, man. Let's move on to one that, again, pops up on these lists from time to time, a band that, you know, it just moves like water. You never notice it. 5,852,000 views. The song is called To the Hellfire by a band called Lorna Shore. Shore is one of those bands. They've been around forever. They are part of the package tours with all the bands that the name is the exact same, the music is the exact same. The music on this was, I will give them credit, different from what that ilk sounded like in the past, though. Did you listen to this one?
I think so.
So I will
I
give
don't
you
really remember it.
My most, like, I listened to the whole song. I don't know why. I guess I got distracted, but I listened to the whole song, and it was very aggressive compared to what you would expect from these kind of bands. To the best of my recollection, I would describe this as Cradle of Filth with deathcore breakdowns.
Yeah, there's been that like style of symphonic deathcore, I guess you can call it, if you want to subgenre it even more.
Yeah, so the entire time their vocalist is doing the Danny Filth high-pitched rasp, and I don't know, this is not something that I enjoy, but I could see how people we know that would admit to liking something like Cradle of Filth would enjoy it.
I'm a big fan of, like, keyboards that you could hear a song that may not be anything special, but that little bit of melody can make a song interesting and can, you know, make it special even. And it just gives you something in comparison to, like, if you throw keyboards into that Arch Enemy song we were talking about before, it gives you something to look forward to and to hook on to.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to some of the symphonic stuff, deathcore, a lot of these bands tend to sound the same. You know what you're going to get. So just that little bit of something extra can get you signed to a Century Media, can get you on these little package tours.
So I haven't done this in a little bit, but I did write a YouTube comment down for this one, if you'll allow me to share it.
Sure.
Chad Henry says, the thought that this really brutal song is going to be played live in big mainstream stadiums makes me smile. Don't know if all those people are going to be ready for this one. And Chad, I'm pretty sure that if people bought a ticket to see fucking Lorna Shore, I think they know what to expect.
I mean, I thought when I bought a ticket for Siberian Orchestra, they wouldn't be as hard as this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to pick on this guy or nothing. Just some of these things people say, they, you know, form little pinpricks in my brain.
And even if people don't know the music from the band, you might have, like I have done in the past, confused their logo for Goat Whore.
Oh, that's, yes, that's exactly it.
They're the band that they're, it says Lorna Shore, but if you don't know that and you look at it quickly, it's like, oh, it's Goat Whore. Because the Shore part, the H-O-R-E, is like really distinctive. And the L in the logo looks like a G. And it's just like, oh yeah, Goat Whore, we know them.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Well, either way, if you buy that ticket with either logo on it, you're going to go in for disappointment. Let's move on. We're in the top four here. Number four, with 6,014,000 views, is Gojira with Amazonia. I did not care at all for what Gojira did on that last record, where they were kind of making a hard rock push. So this one, it sounds fine to me. You know, I have no particular ill will for these guys or what they do.
It's kind of funny what their, not projection, but kind of like how their career has gone. They kind of have been like starting out, people being into it, and then they had that one album where like it was making it on top 10 lists, number one some places. And then they've kind of like leveled off and even gone down a little bit since then.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if we were talking about before with the Parkway Drive or Bring Me the Horizon. They tried to do the, well, we have success now, let's try to make something more palatable, let's go the Mastodon route. And it didn't work in either direction. Longtime fans didn't care for it, and they didn't get any new fans.
Yeah, I still think it's enough to maintain, like, doing exactly what they're doing right now. They will maintain a career for, you know, the next 20 years. They'll be on all the festivals. They just probably won't be on the main stage at, you know, 9 o'clock at night, right?
Yeah, I mean, at some point, there's not going to be a Judas Priest or an Iron Maiden or some of these longtime legacy bands that always get these headlining slots. So someone's going to have to take over it at some point, and there aren't that many bands that can do it. You know, maybe your Volbeats, your Five Finger Death Punches, maybe Avenged Sevenfold. You know, at some point there's going to be no one else left. So is Gojira going to just be one of those bands where maybe they're not the headliner, but they're like fourth biggest name on the list?
They'll be the Anthrax of the next 20 years. That's my prediction.
Oh, Anthrax is still going to be playing in 20 years. Not going up, not going down, putting out one album every 8 to 9 years, and that'll be that.
You know, those French fellas, they got to get on a VH1 show. That can ensure their longevity.
Just pick scraping instead of talking about how the 90s were.
Yeah, no, Bud Bundy was really a down-to-earth dude.
Scrape.
Let's move on to something more contemptible. Number three, with 6,851,000 views, is Steel Commanders by Sabaton. Sabaton, Jordan.
Still Sabaton. Still the same thing forever and ever. Talking about war. At some point, they're just going to, like, do songs about, like, the Peloponnesian War, Phoenician War, stuff like that, right?
I would actually find that more palatable, because Steel Commanders, a song about tank battalions, this song, due to the top comment being from Sabaton, is a promotion for World of Tanks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is far, far less respectable than what Trivium did. You know, the Elder Scrolls is a real game. This is a pay-to-play mobile game.
Where you just stare at your phone while sitting on the toilet, pointing at tanks to blow each other up. And if you really want to win, you have to pay real-world money.
Yeah, I have so little respect for any of this, but I did write down some comments.
Are they just tank noises?
There were a lot of things about tanks, a lot of guys talking about their service with tanks, whatever that, I don't know, I got bored reading half of those. I got one from Kai here. I really enjoyed this. I don't care what anyone says, Sabaton has been and will always be my absolute favorite band. I love you, Linkin Park, but Sabaton vibes on a whole different level.
If you just stopped after I love you, Linkin Park, that would have been a top comment.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Kai didn't expect that I would be calling him out on this, because I don't think before this anyone would be like, Kai, you're full of shit. Sabaton is not your favorite band.
Just his mom logging in and calling him a poser.
Oh my God, that'd be so fucking good. Yeah, I just love that that's the pull that he has, the band that, the only band that could possibly compete with Sabaton is Linkin Park.
I'm not saying anyone should log into YouTube with an account called, I don't know, maybe Kai's Mom, and reply to him, calling him out on his Sabaton fanship. But if you have nothing better to do this afternoon, just consider it.
It's lighthearted trolling. Don't tell him you're going to kill him or whatever. You know, we're just having some fun here. I got another one here from Jorge Gonzalez Avila. I swear these guys get more hardcore with every song they release. Who the hell uses a cello in a metal song? Sabaton, that's who.
A bunch of bands?
Yeah, man, I guess the thing about Sabaton that I really hate is that I don't know if you, like, had a friend, you know, from grade school or whatever that you've watched grow into an adult on like Facebook and haven't talked to in 20 years and just watched them become obsessed with, like, I don't know, fucking airsoft and shit like that. But I did, and that's exactly what I associate with this. And it makes me cringe, man. This is some real Reddit level shit, and I fucking hate it.
People that have always been obsessed with war, but couldn't even actually enlist and
make an attempt or whatever. It's like, I don't know. I think it's good that people don't enlist in the military. I would recommend that nobody do that. If we had zero people in the military, that would be a net good for the world. But at the same time, like, this is, it's fucking weird, man. It's fucking weird.
It just reminded me of someone I knew from high school who was your typical, like, hippie stoner. Not pleasant enough guy, but you knew he was never going to achieve anything in life. And that's okay. That's fine. And at one point, he decided that he was going to join the military. I would assume the Army. I don't think he was ever going to be a Marine. But it was to the point where people threw a going away party for him. Like, he was, you know, that's it. Signed up. He's going away tomorrow or next week to boot camp. You know, goodbye. We love you. We'll miss you. Good luck. He never went.
Oh my God. He pulled like the Buster Bluth move. You know, I've been away at Army, mother.
Just never went, never joined. I don't know if he like signed up and got rejected or what, but yeah, never joined the Army.
Incredible. Props to that guy. Fucking major props to that guy. He did the right thing. Number two on this list. 9,896,000 views. Defense of Moscow by Sabaton. Defend the motherland. Moscow shall not fall. Standing for the land of love for the homeland. Hear the motherless call. Raise up a storm. Moscow will never give in. There is no surrender. Force them into retreat and into defeat. Is this a video game tie-in? I don't think this one is actually, but it was.
Is this just agitprop or propaganda, or it is it on Russian TV?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't write down any comments from this because they were all in Russian. It seemed to me to be naked pandering to that audience, and it seems to have paid off for them because they have almost 10 million views on it. I don't want to continue talking about Sabaton. We have talked about Sabaton entirely too much, and I don't want to talk about them anymore. Can we get to number one?
Is it one of those things where, you know, people are convinced the CIA is just behind all art and all music all the time as like a way to control people? But this is an actual case of like the Kremlin giving money to a metal band.
I mean, if you have a song in defense of Moscow, essentially this is about being, you know, battles like Leningrad and stuff like that, fighting against the Nazis, like this incredible siege warfare and all that. Like, I guess that's theoretically a thing to celebrate, the Soviet cause, you know, beating back the Nazis. It's just, I fucking hate Sabaton, man. getting on to number one, and we have our number one more than doubling, or almost doubling, the number two spot, so this means it completely dwarfs every other fucking band on the list. 17,772,000 views, The Writing on the Wall by Iron Maiden. Did you listen to this one?
I listened to it when it came out. I think a lot of people did. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this, because it's a new Iron Maiden song. You know, you're curious, even if you're not like a big fan. You just kind of want to hear it because it's new Iron Maiden. Why not? And
Bruce sounds tired.
I think the general reaction for most people was,
That's my reaction. This was pretty meh to me, but at the same time, that was not the case for a lot of people because this has 17 million views, man.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. People love this band. We've seen, what is it, Flight 666 and the other documentaries where they finally go to Brazil and people are like, they have to take their shoes off before checking in. They just leave their shoes and run in because they want to see Iron Maiden and they love them and they love everything they do. And, you know, there are worse songs, I suppose, but this is pretty tepid.
A good descriptor for it. I love Iron Maiden. Well, to be more clear, I love Iron Maiden albums from the year 2000 and before. I really don't give a shit past that, man.
Like, I know they're not going to make The Trooper again, you know, just like Judas Priest isn't going to make a Turbo Lover,
they should.
Breaking the Law.
Like an even
they should.
They should make an even gayer record. I would pre-order that.
Just lean into it really hard. And that could be the name of the album. Lean Into It Really Hard by Judas Priest. But yeah, it's you're not going to get anything like the songs you know and love, and that's okay. This is because the album's like a story, isn't it? Isn't it a whole thing like all their other albums? And this is just kind of, it happens. It's a song that happens. It's almost like a Rush song, or just there's like nothing to it for a long time.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Rather than alienate our audiences by saying unkind things about Iron Maiden, maybe we ought to just call it on this one.
Ah, Bruce Dickinson's a shithead. Fuck him.
Oh, he's a huge piece of shit.
But musically.
Wait, what is the word that like Breno uses for the English guys?
Gammon.
He's a total ham-faced piece of shit.
A nonce?
Well, that's not been proven, but maybe it'll come out that he was buds with Jimmy Savile or something like that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's fine. It's Iron Maiden. You get what you get now at this point for a band that's been around this long. And I know he's had health problems, but his voice sounds still good. He still sounds like him. So hats off for that. It's just this song, whatever.
Well, I'd encourage everybody to read the Toilet of Hell album of the year lists, because I've been finding a bunch of things on there over the last 2 days that have been really, really good that I was not familiar with before. And if you can, go back in time and don't listen to this show so you don't listen to any of this bad music and you listen to that good music instead.
Yeah, there's one really good thing about all of our lists is that they're so diverse and you're going to get different styles, different people, bands you've never heard of. It's not like maybe some of these other more well-known publications where you're going to get a lot of the same albums from a lot of the same record labels.
And I'm going to call him out here, even though I did a tweet about it earlier today, and I don't even know, I know the guy, I don't even know how to pronounce his pen name, Megachiles.
Megachiles.
It's like a big Chili's. You can get drunk in the parking lot forever. That's what heaven is like. Megachiles, he's got killer taste, man. The shit that he found for his best of list is so killer. Go listen to every one of those things. That's my recommendation for y'all on the end of this episode of Toilet Radio. Jordan, do you have anything you want to close with?
I like this end of year list stuff because I can laugh to myself and see how many albums that were originally listed as album of the year contenders just aren't showing up anymore.
Yep. Maybe cool your jets a little bit, pals.
It was hot for a week and then it's gone.
Yeah, you just a bunch of bubblegum pop fans out there. Am I right? Bunch of posers.
The key is just to release an album in October and November because that's all we can remember.
No, seriously, dude. Like, if we've ever given you one piece of good advice, that's it. All right, I got to go because I got to edit this shit tonight because we recorded late. I love you all, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.